Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage, a weekly show designed to replace the lies culture has told us about marriage and family with the raw truth found in the Bible. The premise is simple. Divorce is rising, families are falling, and the culture and even the church seems to be more confused than ever. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to have a Christian marriage. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today we are going to be talking about
how many children a Christian couple should have.
Crazy conversation, but I think it's an important one. We've had a lot of couples that have written us about this topic, and we're going to talk about the heart of what the Bible says about children. So buckle your seats. But before we get started, a couple things. Wanted to just do some house cleaning stuff. Is it called house cleaning or housekeeping?
Housekeeping? I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I guess they're both kind of the same thing.
I guess it is, right? All right. So subscribe on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, would you guys be just subscribers of our account? We try to put these episodes out every single week. And if you're listening to this as an audio podcast, because it exists as both, we'd ask that you guys would leave a review. And you don't even need to write anything. You just tap how many stars you think the show deserves. So that would be a lot to us. Again, we've been so humbled and thankful for all the reviews that you guys have left so far. I wanted to kind of do a quick plug on my book. I should have a copy here in my hand. I don't. Anyways, Save from Success. I wrote an entire chapter on the topic of children, the biblical perspective on children that goes way more detail in my book, Save from Success. You guys can buy that on Amazon if you guys want to pick up a copy of that. So check that out. A quick preface to today's show. We know a lot of couples struggle with infertility, and we've had two miscarriages. We understand some of the difficulties that are surrounded around babies. And so today's topic is not necessarily aimed at people who are, maybe are trying and can't have kids. It's for people who are trying to discern what the biblical perspective is about kids, or people that might be not sure if they want kids, or they're done having kids, or some of those topics. So, anything to add on that?
No, I think that sounds great.
Okay. So, Veronica's going to start us off today because, I think this is a very heavy woman conversation. So I'll let her lead it out.
Yeah. Before I get started, I want to apologize. I know a lot of you guys have been writing me on Instagram or in our reviews that you can't hear me or to turn your microphone up. My microphone is up, so it's just me talking low. I'm not super loud. And so I'll try and be very intentional about speaking into the microphone and projecting my voice a little bit more.
Cool.
That being said, going into our conversation, you hear us say this quote a lot on the show, and it's the culture influences the church more than the church influences the culture. Mm-hmm. That being said, what's the average number of kids secular families have?
Yeah, two.
Two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's the amount of average number of kids that Christian families have?
Two.
Yeah. So sadly, when it comes to kids, the church doesn't look much different than what the world sees. So what does the Bible have to say about children? How are Christians supposed to think about kids?
Yeah. What's the doctrine or the scriptures that Christians need to know about kids? And I think that's what we're going to talk about a lot today.
Yeah. And do we adopt the cultures, one, some, or none type of attitude towards children? Or is there some type of doctrine or scripture that lets us know and helps us answer this question?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what really what, it, you know, right now it's just pretty much the one, none, or some, you know, that's kind of, there is no doctrine. It's just kind of, you know, whatever we feel like doing. And so again, we're going to give you the big high level and quick conversation about children. I mean, this, you could talk about this for hours. There's also books that have been written on hundreds of pages on this topic. So we're just going to take a quick conversation on this. But the Bible's clear. Children are a blessing. And a blessing means, like the word blessing means God's favor. So children are God's favor to a family or to a couple. And it means that they're valuable. They're actually more valuable than anything else you have. I mean, your house, it's valuable, but you'd sell it if you needed to. If your most prized possessions, they're valuable, but you would also sell those things. But your children, you're not going to sell your children. I mean, these are, they're priceless. That's how valuable they are.
Well, yeah. And if like somebody were to break into your house or your house catches on fire, the first thing you go for is your children.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the perspective is that these are the most valuable things that we can have. And it's interesting how that they're the most valuable yet the least desirable, in many cases, especially in the culture. And so I want to ask you guys some parallel questions about blessings, just to kind of do a self-evaluation or an assessment. So the Bible says, that wealth is a blessing. And I want you to ask yourself, do you want more wealth? Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. Sure. Yeah, we'd like to have some more wealth. That's a blessing, God's favor. The Bible also says that wisdom is a blessing. Do you want more wisdom? Right?
That sounds absolutely
like a,
yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I'd love to have some more of that blessing, some more of God's favor there. It says, the Bible says that influence is a blessing. Do you guys want more influence? Sure. I think a lot of people want that. But the Bible also says that kids and children are a blessing. Do you want more children? You know, see, this is the question that you come to, is that, is there some sort of inconsistent logic or kind of inconsistent desires when it comes to children? Do we actually believe that children are a blessing, or do we kind of believe that they're just a part of life and we don't really want more of them? We want as much as we can handle, or, you know, it's just a weird perspective that we have around the idea of children. So I think a lot of us would check the right box if it was a, you know, an exam that said, our children are a blessing, true or false?
Check that box, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to check the box. You know, but I think that just because we believe it doesn't mean we behave it. And we want to have a conversation about what it means to really walk out that children are a blessing. And yeah, that's just the core of this conversation today. So I'll let Veronica take it.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's actually how Dale and I kind of started our marriage. When Dale and I did not go to premarital counseling. Nope. We got married really fast. And so the topic of children was like kind of briefly brought up when we were dating, but more so after we got married. And I'd say when we got married, it was definitely like a no, we're not having kids right now.
Yeah.
And then we would talk about what the future maybe looks like. And I was like, okay, maybe like I'd like to maybe have one just to kind of see what it's like and then adopt the rest and maybe have two or three.
Which was heavily in Veronica's fear of having kids.
Yes. I was terrified of giving birth. That was basically the only reason why I wanted to adopt, was just because I wanted to have children, but not have to physically have them. It was a huge fear of mine. And then you were more like, oh yeah, I mean, we could have one, maybe two.
Yeah.
It was never like a serious conversation for us.
Yeah. It was just the kind of one, none, or some mentality. Again, there was no biblical outlook at all.
No, it was just whatever our friends are doing, whatever the culture was doing, whatever everyone else was doing.
Yeah, exactly. We just adopted what everyone else is doing. We didn't actually have any biblical perspective on children. And we were Christians and we go to church every weekend. I never actually even heard a sermon on the topic. Have you?
No.
I mean, so it's just an interesting thing that we don't talk about this much in the church. So a couple things. I'm going to go through some stuff. Is that I'm looking at my notes, guys, if you're watching this on the YouTube version here. But you know, if you read the Bible, it really sounds like a complete opposite of what the culture says about children. Psalm 127, which will be this week's memory verse, it's a fantastic psalm about the value of children. It actually says, that they're a heritage from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The same psalm, it says that their offspring is a reward from him, from God. Proverbs 17, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, says that they are a crown of the aged, that children are a crown of the aged. Jesus was actually famous for rebuking his disciples for not letting the little children come to him. And he actually says this this quote in the Gospels. I'm going to read it. It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." I mean, so Jesus had this very powerful perspective on children, and we need to make sure that we're adopting that perspective on children. I'm going to give you guys some more just points that I think are really important on this journey as you guys evaluate children in light of the scriptures. And Veronica can jump in at any time if she wants to. But Dr. John Traynor says a really important quote. It's actually often misquoted to C.S. Lewis, but this is a Dr. John Traynor quote. It says, "Children are not a distraction from the more important work. They are the more important work."
And as a mother, you're raising up the next generation.
Exactly.
They are the most important work.
Yeah, it's not like there's nothing else in your home, in your life, that is more important than that. Our culture will say that children will impede your dreams, that they'll stop or prevent. They're going to get in the way of the things that you want to do. See, but the Bible says that children should be the dream. Like, you should actually be working hard, organizing your life, getting yourself set up, not because you want to go on vacations or retire, but because you want to have more children.
We actually had a friend, a couple over last night with their kids, and she was talking about how she has an opportunity coming up next month to travel for some work, and, friends and family is supportive of it, but she's just having a really hard time in her heart wanting to go. And I said, "Okay, well, like, why is that?" And she said, "Just because I don't want to leave my family. Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave my kids. I don't want to leave my husband. Like, I'm going to miss them so much." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, that's a great perspective. That's a biblical perspective, because a lot of times in culture, you'll just hear moms, even on social media, like, 'Oh, thank God, I need to get away from my kids. Oh, it's school season. See ya. Thank God, I get my sanity back.'"
They have these pictures of them celebrating behind their kids' first day of school.
Yeah, they're trying to escape their family. They're trying to escape their children. And I get it. I'm a mom to three young kids. My oldest child is 4.5. Like, sure, there are times where, like, I'll need a break. Mm-hmm. And Dale will come in and I'll go lay down in the room, or I'll leave for the day or something. But the heart behind it isn't, "I need to escape." I don't want to escape my children.
Yeah. It's, "I need a break so I can continue to be a great mother."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So guys, a couple things here. You know, culture and even church actually instructs young married couples or newlywed couples, to just wait, you know, wait as long as you can before you have to go enjoy yourself. You know, if you're asking the question, when should we have kids? When's the best time to start to have kids? I mean, from the Bible's perspective, it would be... Hey, Dale Partridge here. Last year, I heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. You see, the vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Now, let's dive back into the show. Do you have to in your wedding night? You don't have to, but that's when you should definitely be thinking about children. It's the culture's perspective is, no, don't get any of those stinking kids. They'll ruin your life. You know,
yeah,
go enjoy each other.
It's not like, how do I know when the right time is? The right time biblically is any time after you're married. There's not, I mean, after you've already been married, I would say that there's no right or wrong time. Maybe there are in very
unique circumstances
that this isn't a good time to bring a baby into the world.
Yeah,
but the most part, if you're living a normal
life,
healthy Christian life.
Yeah. then it's pretty much any time after your wedding day. And you know, the Bible implies that if you're not ready to multiply, then you're not ready to be inside of a marriage. That's what it is if you're not ready to multiply, you're not ready to be inside of a marriage. If you actually have to prevent what naturally occurs between a husband and a wife when they become one flesh, when they consummate the marriage, be fruitful and multiply, when the two become one, if you actually have to naturally prevent that from occurring, you have to ask yourself, is it God's will or is it our will? You know, and I think that the church has a perspective that's a little unique about this. It's kind of like, Lord Jesus, Lord, I want your will to be done in every area of our life, except this one. And we kind of hold it back, like, oh, except children. Like, you can have authority and do whatever you want in every area of our life, except over here. We're going to actually just kind of have as many kids as we want, and it's going to be our decision, and we don't really want you involved in this. Like, that's kind of what it seems like. And that's an important thing to kind of pay attention to. And, you know, Veronica and I, we have a unique perspective on this. We've sought the scriptures so many times on, we don't have an 100% open womb policy. That's not what we have. We're all about natural family planning. However, we are constantly seeking the Lord's perspective on the matter of children, making sure that our heart is right. If you're a man that wants to put a baby inside your wife and your wife doesn't want one, you're an unwise man. If you're a woman who wants to seduce your husband into having a baby he's not ready for, then that's not walking in your biblical role. But if you're a husband or a wife who has a heart that's against children, like, we're done, you know?
Constantly examining your heart.
Examining your heart. You might have a perspective that's in opposition to God's perspective or to the Bible's perspective about children. And again, there's so many unique circumstances here, guys. I'm not speaking to the exceptions. I'm speaking to the general public on the general rule of this stuff. So we want to be careful with that. But check your heart. Does it align with God's perspective on children?
Yeah. So as we mentioned earlier, the goal of this episode is to answer the question, how many kids should a Christian couple have? Well, God doesn't really give us a number. He just says multiply. He doesn't say sustain or maintain. He just tells us, or he doesn't say add. He just tells us to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
So you see, God is not interested in diminishing his people on the planet.
Yep.
He wants us to fill the earth with his image.
Yes. And I love that Veronica said this concept of, there's no number in the scriptures. Okay. It's multiply. It doesn't say add. It doesn't say maintain.
You have to be fruitful.
Be fruitful and multiply. Don't just multiply.
Yeah, don't just have a bunch of kids, but you're to be having children who are fruitful, who love Jesus, who want to serve the Lord, who want to build the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, we know this because be fruitful and multiply. God says it twice. He says it to Adam and Eve. He also says it to Noah when he gets off the ark. And we know that God isn't interested in just more bodies with pulses. Like, don't go make more humans. Like, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, go make more people who love and know me. And we know that because when he says it to Noah, he just destroyed possibly a billion people. And so it's not like just create more bodies. No, the command is be fruitful, the fruits of the Spirit, be fruitful and multiply, right? Multiply people who love me and who know me. And so, a couple things, guys, I'm going to give you guys just some basic, I guess, apologetics of this concept of children is I'm going to give you some population calculation. That's a cool rhyme right there, right? So if you have 1,000 couples, that live in a community and they each have 2 kids and their kids get married and each have 2 kids and their kids get married and each have 2 kids, 1,000 years from today, that community will have 1,000 couples. Literally zero population growth with 2 children. You actually need 3 children to have any sort of population growth. And so if there is a biblical command that we could even come to for a number, I guess it would be 3. Now, I'm not saying that a couple things. One is that I don't think it's about a number. I don't think the Bible is all about, it's not about a number. It's about having a kingdom perspective. It's about recognizing that children are what God is doing here on the earth. Like, if you want to know what the Lord's doing, just look down in a crib. Look down below waist height. Look at the next generation. This is what God is doing in the world. He's raising up the next generation of godly soldiers for his kingdom, for ambassadors of Christ. That's what God is doing. And so it's not about how many kids. Don't ask that question. We don't even have a number. If someone asks us how many kids we want to have, we go, I don't know. You know, we've said before, I don't know, maybe somewhere between 5 and 10. But well, yeah, we don't know.
We don't know how many the Lord's going to give us.
We do want more. But we've had 2 miscarriages. Veronica's been pregnant 5 times.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, you know, and so we've had this journey. So again, it's not about the number. It's about a kingdom perspective.
Yeah, and do you think Satan is excited about a biblical husband or wife having and raising kids who love Jesus?
Yeah, not excited at all.
Not excited at all. He's definitely threatened by that.
Yeah.
And do you think the enemy is happy with more soldiers being born to defend his plans? Or to defeat his plans?
I mean, that's really what kids are, right? I mean, we are raising up a generation to defeat Satan's plan. And we're going to train them to defend the truth. Yeah, this is a threat to the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah, and if you're a Christian mother listening to the show, like, just know that you are dangerous to the kingdom of Satan. And let me tell you why.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And this is fun. This is a
reference from a devotional that I was reading by Nancy Campbell.
Yeah, and it's just awesome. And so, yeah, just read off these points because they're so good. Is that if you're a Christian mother, you're a threat to the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah, it says every time you raise a godly child, the more of a threat you'll be to the works of the devil, the more evil will be defeated in the land, the more the kingdom of God will be advanced, the more the gospel will spread across the earth, the more the image of God will be seen by a broken world. Righteousness and morality will grow in the nation. Justice, honesty, and love will overflow in the world, and the more God will be glorified in the earth.
Okay, so children are not about you having these little critters run around your house.
Yeah, and they're also not about just bringing you joy for the people that just want to have kids to make them happy.
Yeah, it's not about that. The biblical perspective is that when you have kids, they're furthering the kingdom of God. The more the gospel will be preached, the further the kingdom of heaven will be advanced, the more honesty and morality and truth that'll be put across your land. I mean, all these things happen when Christian couples have godly children and raise them to know the Lord and stop just preventing kids, but actually say, you know, we want what God wants for our family. I remember someone asked me, he said, imagine if you get to stand before the Lord and he goes, here's the children you were supposed to have. And I remember that being just a convicting statement. There's no doctrine to back that question up, but just a question of going, what if God had children for us that we closed off to, you know, adoptive or natural, you know? So anyways, that's my small rant, but I'll close here with a couple practical stuff here. And so again, we shouldn't be asking how many kids we should have. That's not the question. We should be going, God, Lord, your will be done. Now, you guys might have a season. Veronica and I just had a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking a small break, a season, you know, of just going, okay, Lord, just, you know, it says in 1 Peter 3:7.
But we're not taking a break out of fear.
Not breaking it. No, I'm taking a break because I love Veronica. It says 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, according to understanding. Be gentle with them. Yeah, Veronica's body's not ready for this right now. She needs some time. Her emotions need some time. And I can stand before the Lord and say, God, I'm not doing this out of selfish desire. I'm not doing this out of fear or faithlessness. I'm doing this because I want to protect my bride. And so, but we our hearts toward kids are awesome. We love kids.
Yeah, I would love to have more children.
Yeah, we want more children. We want what God wants for us. So there's a way that Veronica and I have kind of evaluated if our desires are getting in the way of God's plans. And the way we've done this is just a fun, simple thing that I don't want to say it's fun. It's actually terrifying.
Well, it's a challenging thing to examine your heart against the word of God.
Yeah. And so, what we're going to do is ask you guys if you've kind of said no more kids, or we're done.
Yeah. Do a little exercise that we do.
Yeah. And so get a whiteboard or a piece of paper and I want you to make 3 columns. And in these 3 columns, I want you to write 3 words. The first one is selfishness. The second column is faithlessness. And the third column is fear. And I want you to come up with every reason that you don't want to have kids, however good you think they are. And whether that's prevention or that's birth control, whether that's just we're just done, whatever it is. And I want you to put those, see if any of those answers or those reasons fit in one of those three categories. Is it founded in selfishness? Is it founded in faithlessness? Like we don't actually believe that God will provide for us or take care of us. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough know-how. We're not in a good position. Is it about fear? We're afraid. We're afraid of the future of this culture. We don't want to have any more kids because we don't want to bring them into a broken world. That's the bad perspective to have right there, because no, we need more. You can't win a culture war without any babies.
Without any soldiers.
Without any soldiers, yeah. You can't do that. So that's a fun exercise. Mm-hmm. It's revealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can see it before your eyes instead of it just being thoughts in your head. And a lot of times it'll bring conviction and just a lot of clarity, like, okay, this is how my mind is working. This is how I'm thinking. And this is not how God wants me to be thinking.
Yeah. God doesn't want you to be preventing children because of selfishness, faithlessness, and fear. Now, if there's a reason, we know friends that have had to take certain medication they couldn't get pregnant on for a time. That's a valid reason. We know reasons because women have had pregnancies that the doctor says, hey, I don't think it's safe for you to have another baby. And the protection, there's those reasons. We've had reasons of that we're in, you know, that it's just not the right time. People with bad anxiety might have panic attacks and they have to take certain meds. We understand those reasons. But in general, take those three categories and see if your reasons are actually bad reasons. Okay. Wow, that was heavy. I feel like we got like quiet and like, hey. So, okay. We're going to move on to questions. Veronica's going to read the question. We only have one question because today's show is a little bit long. So we want to.
Yeah. And if you guys have any questions that you want us to answer the podcast, go ahead and just send them over to support@ultimatemarriage.com. And we get your questions. Some of the ones we can't answer because they're a little bit more specific to that person's situation. But in general, if it has something to do with marriage that a lot of people can benefit from, go ahead and send them our way. And this week's question is, how do you guys navigate watching any sort of television shows and movies? It seems like you can't watch any shows or movies these days without at least one sex scene in it.
Yeah. So I'll start and Veronica can add here. The main thing is this: when you're thinking about television or music or anything, are you entertained by what breaks God's heart? Are you finding joy in what God finds disgusting? Are you laughing? Are you finding humor in what the Lord finds despising? If you are, as a Christian, and you're not having that conviction or not listening to it, that's sinful. That's sinful. You'd actually need to be repentant of that. Veronica and I have seen lots of Christian couples that have walked in. They just watch all types of stuff. Do you remember that, that party we got invited to years ago?
Yeah. Was it Dexter or Game of Thrones or something? I don't know. They're all kind of the same. We've never seen them.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're like, okay, is this your Dexter or something? This is
years
ago.
Turned it on for a half hour and I go, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah, this is a terrible show. We should not be watching this.
But they had a party, like, of all Christians coming and watching the show together every week. Like, let's all go watch the pornographic TV show together. Like, I just go, what? Let's all watch the murder people together. Like, this is broken thinking, people.
It's disturbing.
So what do we watch?
We watch some HGTV house shows, 90s shows, old stuff. And honestly, most of the time that Dale and I do watch these types of shows is when we're laying down in bed falling asleep. Like, we don't really watch them around our kids. Our kids, we're not completely like 100% against TV. They're allowed to watch shows here and there, but I'll tell you, there's a good, at least solid 5 days out of the week where our TV doesn't turn on at all, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, get outside, go play. Let's burn some energy.
We watch things, Clifford, things from like our childhood.
The Berenstain Bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, these are some of the shows that we allow. I mean, and we're actually very strict about movies, mm-hmm, with the kids. We've bought lots of movies that were like,
Yeah, we'll buy them because they're on Apple TV. And I'm like, okay, well, everyone else likes this movie. Maybe I'll buy it and then we can watch it later and we'll own it on our Apple TV. And 5 minutes into it, I have to turn it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean...
And so it's just in our queue. We own it, but they don't watch it.
And so when the kids get older, we'll be a little more lenient. When they can defend in their own heart and mind... You know, our kids are small, but if they were like 7 or 8, we would maybe get like a little bit less... You know, hey, okay, and explain what's going on. And when they're 10, 12, and when they're 13, 14, and 16, like, they need to be able to have their own discernment.
Yeah, our kids are just in, they're in such formative years right now.
Yeah.
So, they just are more careful.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing is that people who watch lots of TV, if you're watching lots of TV right now, I want you guys just to wake up to this. Because one, the reasons people watch lots of TV is that you don't have vision of God's kingdom. You are escaping something. Or you're lazy. That's generally the reasons that people watch lots of TV day in and day out. So if that's you, just like, hey, get some vision. The reason people sometimes struggle with these things, they don't have a vision. God's kingdom, the world is lost. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission, we have work to do. So I want to just get you guys there. We got a memory verse this week.
Yeah, Dale mentioned it earlier. He referenced it earlier. But this week's memory verse is going to be Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate.
Yeah, lots of deep theology behind this. So a quiver, guys, if you guys don't know what a quiver is, it's the container in which you put your arrows in. You know, like a guy has like Robin Hood, it's like a quiver on his back and he pulls an arrow and he shoots them out into the world. That's how the Bible views children, is that, no, you're stoked when you got a lot of arrows and you get to shoot them out to do God's work in the world, in the kingdom, here in this culture today. So, okay, I think that's it. We're going to just close with a couple things. Housekeeping. I think I said it right this time. Okay. So one, if you guys would be so generous to just leave a review, the reviews actually really help the exposure of the show, because iTunes algorithm in terms of how they're revealed, this show has made it to the top 10 in Christian podcasts, over 53,000 podcasts. So
it's insane. This is episode seven. Okay.
Yeah. And so we're,
that's crazy.
We're humbled. But people are writing us and saying, this is changing our marriage and we're humbled by it. It's not us. It's the Lord's, it's the scriptures that are doing this. And so those reviews are a way to actually help further this message to other Christian couples. Also the show notes, the video of this podcast, the audio of this podcast that you can download, where you can subscribe, all the scripture, all the quotes, the memory verse, an introduction to the topic, all of it is available at ultimatemarriage.com. Just go to the podcast section. This is episode number 7. So again, thanks for watching us today, guys, or being with us today. And we'll bring you guys another show coming up next Wednesday.
See ya.
See you guys. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our 1-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage. Dale Partridge here. Many of you don't know, but Ultimate Marriage is actually a ministry under our nonprofit organization, relearnchurch.org. Our mission at Relearn Church is to bring the church back to the Bible, and secondly, to relearn what it means to be the church in the world. Now, we do this in 4 ways. The first is we train Christians how to plant biblical house churches, and we do this through in-person workshops and online media. The second is helping Christian married couples have biblical marriages. Now, this this podcast, our retreats, and our 12-week online program is part of that effort. The third is biblical parenting, and the fourth is biblical manhood. As of now, we only have enough budget to build out the first two initiatives, but our hearts are yearning to create more content, more courses, more programs, and more events. But we need your help. If our ministry has been impactful in your life, would you prayerfully consider supporting Relearn Church financially? From $5 per month and up, every little bit helps. And if this interests you, you can make a tax-deductible donation at relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you for your consideration. Now, let's dive back into the show.